That's fine. Okay, you're saying that it's kosher. You're saying it's kosher as long as you're below the shipui kova. But come on, but which opinion of Tanoim are you following? You're not following the Rabbanan of our Mishnah because they say that the highest you can shaft is within Chabat HaGdola, which is below that. And not like Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who also says you need to shaft within Tabas and Dola. The only difference is that you have one of them saying you need to leave a complete ring of it intact, and the other one says you need to leave roiv of a ring. But neither of them says you can shaft within the kova. So what are you telling me? That it's cautious. Bamalei, so Rav Nachman answers, Ano lechilik yedaina v'le bilik yedaina. I don't know from chilik. I don't know from bilik. Ano shmaitu yedaina. I know what I've learned from my rabbi, which is that it's kosher, as we're going to say in a second. What is chilek and bilek? So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that chilek means maloshen chilek, to divide something in half. So that would represent the Rabbanon of the Mishnah, who say that you have to have a division, you have to have a complete ring of the Tabas HaGdola below the Shechita knife, and a complete ring of it above it, in order for the Shechita to be kosher. That would be chilek. Bilek would represent Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who says you don't have to cut through and leave a complete ring. It's enough if you leave most of the ring, but most of the ring is like you destroyed it. Rashi brings based on a topic that the word bilik can mean like to destroy, like to shred something, sort of. Yeah, because like you're cutting through the middle of it. So according to that, Rabbi Nachman is saying, I don't know from the Tanakhama, I don't know from Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, I know from what I learned from my Rabbi. The other explanation, Rashi says, based on a Gemara and Sanhedrin, is that chilik and bilik, it's just like you would say nowadays, I don't know from Beryl or Shmerel. I mean, it's just like placeholder names for people. I don't know from this person, I don't know from that person. I know what I heard from my rabbi. And what did I learn? The Amr of Kiva Abba Amr of Yechanan, the Amrila Amr of Abba Zabda Amr of Tamina, the Amrila Amr of Yaakov Ba'idi Amr of Yeshua and Levi, all of them say, Mishipui Koiva Olamaka Ksheira, that is kosher as long as you did it from the Shipui Koiva and downward. Again, from that point where it starts narrowing and downward, from the Adam's apple downward. So that's the thing. Sort of Nachman is saying, like the opinions of all the various Amoraim that we said before, that as long as it's below the Shipui Koiva, you're okay. So not like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, not like Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda of our Mishnah, but rather like Rav Chanina ben Antignus.
So which the halacha is?
And so that halacha is like it, right? And the Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, and furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, let me explain to you the three opinions of the Tanoim. Mugremeth did a... Our Mishnah would hold as Mugremeth, because you didn't leave a complete ring intact of the Tabas HaGdola. The word Mugremeth, we said before, Rashi says, it comes from a word meaning to balance a scale down, to weigh down one side of a scale. Like here, you're weighing the Shechita towards one side. Girumin is his question.
Girumin,
yeah. There's also the Rashi and Malachi and
Malachi.
Means the extra quantity that you give the person than where the scale is balanced, where the scale weighs down on that side. There's also a Rashi and Malachi and also Gerem and Milus, that Rashi gives a different explanation, that Gerem over there means a staircase, which is bumpy, and therefore Mugremeth means that there's a bump in the Shechita, like you shafted on an angle. Whatever, anyway, the point is that's Mugremeth, yeah. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, let me explain to you the details. Mugremeth the Rabbanon Ksheira l'Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What the Rabbanon of our Mishnah would hold is Mugremeth. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would hold is Kosher. Or the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ksheira l'Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. And what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds is Kosher, is Mugremeth, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would hold is Kosher. Namely, if you shaft it above the Tabas HaGdola, within the coat. So my question. Again, so you have three different opinions. Each one is makor compared to the previous one. So the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? If we look at the three opinions, we can understand ourselves that what one says is kosher, the next one says is kosher, and so forth. The answer is no. Mao detema Rav Chanina ben Antignus ad Rabbanan koi. Because you might think, all we had before in the Braisa on Yud-Ches Amud Beis is we said Rav Chanina ben Antignus gave edus on Mugremeth that it's kosher. But he didn't specify who his definition of Mugremeth. So maybe he doesn't mean, he's not referring to the Yosef of Yehuda's definition. Maybe he's referring back to the Chachamim's definition. The Chachamim are saying that if it's Mugremeth, if you don't have a complete ring, a complete 360 degrees left of the Tabas HaGdola above the Shechita knife, and Rav Chanina ben Antignus would be saying, like Rav Yosef of Yehuda, that you don't need the whole thing, you just need Rav. That doesn't prove necessarily that he holds that he's more makel than Rav Yosef of Yehuda. So therefore, that's the Chiddush. That is what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi wants to inform us, that Rabbi Yehoshua, that Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus is actually being makel more, that is actually being makel more than Rabbi Yehoshua ben Yehoda. Not that he's confirming what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Yehoda is saying, he's being more makel. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Yehoda has said, the highest you can shecht is in the Tabas HaGdolah, and Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus is coming and telling us that you can shecht within the Koyva, as long as you're below the Shukri Koyva. No, as long as you're below the Shukri Koyva, as long as you're below the Adam Yaphilim. So the question is, who says that's the correct explanation of Rav Chanina ben Antignus? The Eima Hachinami. Maybe indeed all Rav Chanina ben Antignus wants to do is confirm for us what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hoda is saying. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hoda has said it did. Rav Chanina ben Antignus is coming and saying Eidos to that effect. Who says he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hoda? The answer is, Imkain Heid Alehom, by the way. Fine, but in that case, the expression shouldn't have been that he gave Eidos Almugremis Shikera. The expression should have been that he's made Allah on it, on the case that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, that Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus is confirming with his Eidos that in fact that's talking. The fact that it doesn't use that expression, the fact that it says Eid al-Mugremis, implies that he's being made on something that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would consider Mugremis, namely where you didn't even, where you shechted above the Tabas HaGdolah, where Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that's no good. He would agree with the Chachamim that that's no good. And Rav Chanina ben Antignus says, no, even that is still kosher. That's not Mugremis. That's still kosher.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's not the middle between the two of them.
The middle between the two of them.
Oh, Rav Yehuda, yeah, it's the middle between them.
Okay.
Fine. And the Gemara says, Rav Chanina ben Antignus, the Koyer of Nachman Kavosei. The bottom line is, the halacha indeed is like Rav Chanina ben Antignus, because Rav Nachman holds like him, and therefore that confirms that the halacha is like him. Yeah, by the way, a couple of Achronim talk about various angles on why would we have to say again that the halacha is like that. We just said at the top of the Amud, but also the Shiva Kreva or the Maka Kreva. So why do we need to confirm it again? So you have a couple of different angles on it. One I think has to do with what you were mentioning before about if you shecht it on an angle, that as long as you started Nishipa Kovar Lamasa, then even if you went, I think one of them is, I don't remember for sure, that even if you ended up going on an angle, the shita will still be kosher. So that's, I think that's one of them. I'm not sure about that. But whatever. The point is that the bottom line is the halacha is like the Chanina ben Antignus. So therefore, even if you're allowed to shecht above the Tabas HaGdolah, you're allowed to shecht above the Tabas HaGdolah, you're allowed to shecht within the Koiva, as long as you're as long as you're below the Shipui Koiva. Yeah.
Everybody agrees that you're allowed
on this? Yeah, well, okay, yes, however, you do have some discussion later on. I mean, the Gemara is going to now go on to what if you did part of it above and part of it below, like if you did like a crooked shita or whatever, there you get a little complication of who the halacha is like. And in particular, one problem that you may have over there is if you do a shita where part of it is too high up, even if from the point of view of the kana it may be okay, you may have an issue that you have the vesh may have been harmed someplace above it. And once you reach, if the vesh has even a tiny hole in it before the shita is completed, then the animal's sick.
But you're cutting it with a knife.
No, the cutting itself is part of the shita, but if you have a hole in it that's not part of the shita process, then the animal is sick. Well, that's the point. In other words, if it's not part of the shita process, if you're cutting too high up and you hit the vesh, then you have a problem. Because then that part is outside the zone for shita.
What's the zone? Vesh never gets there for the vesh.
We're going to see later on. We're going to discuss later on.
There
is a zone, just like there is for the carnet, there's a zone for the vesh. Right. But the point is, right, yeah, of course. The problem is that as we go through over here, when we're going to go through, if you end up cutting on an angle, you end up doing part of it too high and part of it lower and whatever, part of the issue may become, so you may have, and I'm always going to go through various possibilities now, but part of the problem is that you may end up hitting the vesh in the course of that in a part of the vesh which is not caught from a shita, and therefore you're possible the animal on that ground alone. So for that reason, there's reason to be maximum anyway. But we'll go through now and we'll see a number of different cases, some of which are kosher and some of which are not. And then you have a machloek that's showing him who the halacha is like. So
no, the reason is because suffering more.
Yeah, the ultimate thing is it's halacha l'mishmishina that you have to have these rules. You want to say it's because you want to minimize the pain and suffering of the animal. Fine, you know, but ultimately, ultimately, I mean, the halacha is the halacha, regardless of what the actual physiological facts are. But, yeah. Okay. All right. The whole machlokas that we have over here so far, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, about if you shechted within the Tabas HaGdolah, the machlokas would be v'sheshachat shnei shlish v'higim shlish. If you started by shechting correctly through the Tabas HaGdolah in such a way that if you were to continue in that straight line, you would end up cutting through the whole thing and leaving a ring of it above and a ring of it below, and then v'higim shlish, then he went on an angle in the last third. So then the machlokas would be, did Rabbanan Sabri Kula Shchita in the Tabas HaGdolah? The Chachamim say you have to do the entire Shchita, the entire cutting through of the Koneh has to be within the Tabas HaGdolah and no higher. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda suffered Ruba Kukulay, whereas Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would hold Ruba Kukulay, therefore it's good enough if you shechted two-thirds of the way, most of the way through. Aval, Higrim, Shlish, the Shachat, Shnei Shlish, but if it was the other way around, if you started too high up, and you cut through a third higher up than Tabas HaGdolah, and then you started too high up, then you realize in the middle your mistake, and you started angling down, and the other two-thirds you did within the Tabas HaGdolah, Divrei Hakol Psula. Then everybody would agree it's possible. And by the way, I mean, we're talking within the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, but the same principle would apply within Rav Chanan and Antigonus, as far as above and below the Shifri Koba. Same idea. In other words, if you started above it and continued below it, or if you started below it and continued above it. So then it would be possible, and the reason is, Rav Huna is saying, the kinas the chayusa, the inin ruba b'shchita, because when the animal's life force leaves it, as a result of the shchita, it has to be at that point that most of the cutting has been done in a way that is a proper shchita. The left end, here you don't have it, because by the time you reach Roiv of the Koneh, you had it. The first part of it was in the wrong place. It was Megremen. Therefore the animal is safe.
Because it was too high.
Because it started up too high, and therefore by the time you reach Roiv, then you already have that Roiv includes the part with the pathway. Yeah. Amalei Rav Chista, however, Rav Chista argues on Rav Huna. He says, Adraba Lema Mar Ipcha, on the contrary, Rebbe, you should say the other way around. Machloikas v'shehigrim shlish v'shochat shnei shlish. No, you should argue the machloikas of the Tanoim and our Mishnah is when you started out too high, you did a hagroma with the first third, and then you did a proper shchita with the next two thirds. Namely, you would say, why would Rav Yosef of Yehuda say it's kosher? The Rav Yosef of Yehuda sover needed to have a chassi kona pogum. Because Rav Yosef of Yehuda could argue that it's no different than the case where half the kona was already defective. Namely like this. We're going to learn in the next paragraph that you can have, now you have like this. When it comes to the vesh, when it comes to the food, to the esophagus, even a tiny hole in it before the shchita makes the animal sick. However, when it comes to the koneh, you have more leeway. If you have that part of the koneh was damaged while the animal was alive, the animal is not necessarily straight from that. The pastor, the reason is because even if you have part of the koneh is damaged, okay, the animal can still breathe. You're going to have some of the air it breathes in and out is going to go back into the body cavity or whatever, but you're going to have enough of it, it's still going to be able to go through for the animal to be able to breathe and to be able to continue living.
What about the food pipe?
The food pipe, the problem is that even a small hole in it means the food is going to leak out into the body cavity, and it's going to cause infections and things. Anyway, the point is that the Mishnah, later on, we learn in the next paragraph, suppose you have a case where the koneh was already, you already have a cut or some other kind of damage that goes around almost half of the circumference of the windpipe. So let's say the windpipe is, I don't know, let's say 10 inches around, let's say, and you have a cut that extends around, let's say, 4 inches of it, and you were to then go and continue shechting, you put the knife into that cut and continue cutting, once you reach Roiv, then you're good. So therefore, Rav Yosef of Yehuda would say the same. Therefore, Rav Chista argues, Rav Yosef of Yehuda might argue the same thing over here. Yes, you started the shchita too high, but so what? That's the equivalent of the koneh already having been damaged ahead of time. You still can have a valid shchita after that, as long as you reach Roiv. So therefore, fine. So as once you reach Roiv, over here, once you reach Roiv, then the shchita will be kosher. I started it with soul. Fine, but it's no different than when the koneh was damaged beforehand also, and the shchita can still be kosher.
You started too high, but then
You started too high, so fine, we'll consider it now. That part, because it's too high, that part is not a valid place for shitta.
Right.
So you'll consider it the equivalent of as if the animal just had some kind of injury that damaged the kana.
Okay.
Now you're going and shechting, and you're doing the other two-thirds of the kana properly. So therefore, if you're doing it, it should hold its good.
It's as if you took off the knife and put it somewhere lower.
Yes, but Rabbanan, where's the Rabbanan? Would the Rabbanan, fine, they would disagree with that and say, they would disagree with that and say, hosam makam shchita, hachalat makam shchita. The difference is that there it works because after all, it is in a place which is valid for shechting of the animal. Here you're talking about a kagroma. By definition, it's a place that's not kosher for shechting. So therefore, already the animal's chayus is leaving it as you have that first part, it's shechted improperly with hagroma, so therefore it doesn't work.
You're
causing it to die by shechting in the wrong place. The above the shifu. Well, above the tabata zone. So the Pesach says, understand the machloikas that way. But you should argue that if you shechted, you started properly, you started going straight through the tabata gerba, you shechted two-thirds of the way through, and then you did hagrama, then you moved the knife and ended up doing the other third wrong on an angle going above the tabata gerba, you should argue divrei akol kshera, that both the chachamim and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda should agree that's kosher. Just non-ruba shalachan kamayu, because after all, later in the next parak, we learned that if you shech most of the simen, then the animal is already kosher. So all you need is most of both the simonim. After that, it's only considered machatet bosa ba'alma. It's just like you're cutting dead flesh already.
When you say most, 51%?
51%, yes. Yeah, in other words, once you shech through the majority of the two simonim in a behemoth, then that's it. It's, at that point, it's considered dead. It's considered properly shechted off the alafa. And any further cutting you do is only machatet bosa ba'alma. So you should argue, says Rav Chisda, that as long as you cut through the majority of the tabata gola properly, then it doesn't matter what you do after that. Even the chacham should hold that that's good. Well, that's the question. So Rav Huna is understanding that the machloikas is, that Rav Huna is understanding the machloikas like this. If you started out good and then you went wrong, then Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda would say it's kosher and the chacham would say it's not. If you started out wrong and then went good, then everybody would agree it's possible. So Chista is arguing you shouldn't say that. You should say the other way around. If you started off wrong and then went good, everybody should agree. Then that's when you would have the machlokes. If you started off good and then you went wrong, then everybody should agree it's kosher. However, Rabbi Yosef says to Rav Chista, you're saying you want to prove that they should both hold kosher if you started right, you went two-thirds of the way right, and then you did hagrama, but... And you're arguing one third of the way wrong at the end, and you're arguing it should be okay because ruba is a kolay, but man name alone dahu ruba jahosam lav rabbi yisur yehuda katanila. Who says that when we say over there ruba shalachad kamayu? Maybe that's only a point of rabbi yisur yehuda. Dilma rabbi yisur yehuda katanila. Maybe it's specifically rabbi yisur yehuda saying that. Maybe the chachamim there would hold you have to cut through the entire kana and the entire vesht, otherwise the animal is safe. So therefore, you don't have a proof from that what the chachamim would hold. Amalei Abaya, however, the Abaya answers to that. What do you mean? Also called Rubi de Alma Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Kafani Lahu. So what are you telling me? In every case in Halacha, in every case throughout Shas, when you say Rubi Kukulai, you're going to attribute all those only to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Doesn't make sense. So obviously, you should assume that one. That's the answer. The answer is, Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, I know Rubi de Shchita Kamina. Yeah, but I'm only talking about when you said Rubi Kukulai regarding Shchita. The Shemayna Lahu de Pligi. There, we have, when it comes to shitta, we see clearly that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef would argue, so therefore, I would argue that maybe when it comes to shitta, Rabbi Yosef would hold Rubi Kekoloi, and the Chachamim disagree. In other places in Shas, we don't ever find them disagreeing on it, so there we could say everybody agrees Rubi Kekoloi. So therefore, you would have to want to prove from there that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and the Chachamim, that, no, you want to prove from there is that you, Rabbi Yosef, want to prove from that Mishnah and the next Tereth, that even the Chachamim would agree that if you started out good two-thirds, and then you went bad in the last one-third, that should be kosher. Not necessarily. Maybe only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would hold that way. Okay. Lishnachrino. No, the point is that then it would mean the Chachamim don't necessarily agree. The Chachamim might say that you have to do the entire thing correctly.
We never saw that the Chachamim said two-thirds and one-third.
That's the point. Right. That's Rabbi Yosef's point. Okay. Lishnachrina Amila. Then we have another version of how this discussion went. It started out, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yosi, Machloika Shehigrim Shlish V'Shachat Shnei Shlish. Again, the Machloika starts out the same way. Oh no, it starts out the opposite, actually. The first version was that Rav Huna had said the Machloika, that Rav Huna had said the Machloika is when you started out good, and then you continued that. Now it's the other way around. If you started bad, Machloika Shehigrim Shlish V'Shachat Shnei Shlish, the Machloika would be if you did Hagroma in the first third, and then you did a proper Shtika in the other two thirds. And the machlokas would be that Rav Yosi of Yehuda Sover needed to have a chasid kana fungum. Again, in other words, all we're doing in the second version is we're flipping around what Rav Huna and Rav Chista say. According to the second version, Rav Huna is taking the view that Rav Chista argued for in the first version. So Rav Yosi of Yehuda would say that it's kosher, needed to have a chasid kana fungum, because it's no different than the case where half the kana was already damaged, and nevertheless you can continue shechting there, and it's a valid shechter. And the Rabbanon would say no, because because the difference is over there you're talking about it was damaged in a place that's valid for shchita. Here you're talking about it's above the tabas agola, and according to them it's not a place that's good for shchita. But if you were to do two-thirds correctly and then angle the knife and do the other third not correctly above the tabas agola, then everybody would agree that's kosher. Because once you cut through most of the simen, it's the equivalent of cutting through the whole simen. And at that point, the animal is considered dead, and any further cutting that you do is not relevant as far as shchita. And according to the second version, Rav Chista comes and asks the other way around. Man leimalon dahu ruba gehasam lav Rav Yosi b'Yehuda katanila. According to the second version, Rav Chista is asking the same question that Rav Yosi asked on Rav Chista in the first version. Who says that you're assuming that the ruba shel echad kamoyu of the next parak is according to you? You're assuming it's according to everybody, but maybe not. Jumer Rav Yosi b'Yehuda katanila. Maybe it's only according to Rav Yosi b'Yehuda. Maybe the Chachamim would disagree and say you have to cut through the whole kana and the whole vesh. And the same thing they would say over here, you have to cut through the whole kana correctly without doing hagrama.
And regardless of where you start, the fact is that Chachamim might not necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda.
We know that they don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, do they agree when you started out correctly and then went back? That's Rav Huna arguing that according to the second version. According to the second version, that is what Rav Huna is arguing. As long as you did Shnei Shlish correctly, we don't care what happens in the Shlish Atzer. Yes, Rav Chista is arguing on that and saying maybe the whole concept of Ruba Shel Echad Kamoyu only works according to Rav Yosi of Yehuda. And the answer is Amalei Rav
Chista,
which means the Chachamim would disagree.
Yeah, would
disagree. They have to do the whole thing.
They have to do the whole thing, exactly.
Amalei Rav Yosi, and in the second version of Yosi answers Rav Chista, the answer that Abaya asked on Rabbi Yosef last time, so like we're moving everything one over, Otu called Rubi the Almer Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Katani Lahu. So what are you telling me? Every place in Shas where we talk about Rubi the Kolay would only be according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Amalei, and Rav Chista answers, I know Rubi the Shchita Kamina. No, I'm only talking about Roy when it comes to Dinim of Shchita, the Shemayin Lahu de Pligi, because we find already that they're arguing in Omnishnah about Rubi the Kolay. So therefore, I would argue that in the next paragraph they're also arguing about that. But only regarding
the same in both discussions.
In both discussions, we have the same discussion. We have the same argument. The difference is who's making what argument. Is it that Rav Chista had said that if you start out good, then you have the machlokas. That if you start out bad, everybody agrees it's kosher. And Rav Chista argues it should be the other way around. If you start off good, everybody should agree it's kosher. And if you start out bad, that's when there should be the machlokas. You have Rav Yosef arguing on Rav Chista and Abaya answering. In the second version, Abaya doesn't come in. You have Rav Huna saying that if you started out bad and continued good, then you have the machlokas. But if you started out good, two-thirds, and continued bad, everybody would agree it's kosher. Rav Chista argues on that they should be arguing in that case also. Rav Yosef says that no, because you shouldn't assume that only Rav Yosef of Yehuda holds the Roy. And Rav Chista says, yes, when it comes to Shchita, I would say only Rav Yosef of Yehuda holds the Roy. Another case, Higrim Shlish V'Shochat Shlish V'Higrim Shlish. Now another case, suppose you started out doing one-third Hagrama, then above, Then you did the next third correctly, below the point where you're supposed to, below, within Tabatha Golo, below the Shikri Kaira, as the case may be. The Higrim Shlish, then you did another third, then you did the last third with Hagrama.
So Higrim.
Hagrama means outside of the problem. Higrim Shachat the Higrim, yes. Rav Huna Omer Rav Shela. Rav Yehuda Omer Rav Shleta. So here Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that it will be kosher, and Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav that it will be treif. In other words, they argued what Rav says. What do you mean? Those things were shechted. He did Hagroma. We know. We check afterwards and we find that part of the first third was done Hagroma. It was done too high up. The next part was the next third was done correctly. And then the next third again was done badly, too high up.
Two-thirds were done wrong.
Yes. The two-thirds were done wrong, right. But the middle third was done correctly. So Rav Huna is saying that Rav would say it's kosher, and Rav Yehuda is saying that Rav would say it's straight. Now, how does that fit with before we were saying that Rav Huna was saying that Rav Huna was saying that even if you shechted two-thirds correctly and then the last third incorrectly, the Chachamim already would say it's kosher, and here Rav Huna is just saying flat out kosher. So Rashi says the difference is, because before we were talking about, Rashi says on the top of Amud Beis, the difference is before Rav Huna is explaining the opinions of the Chachamim and Rav Yosi Yehuda, now he's explaining the opinion of Rav Chanina, but I'm taking this, who is more makel, as we said before. Tosfos says not like that. Tosfos just says the difference is before Rav Huna is quoting Rav Asi, he was quoting Rav. So fine, they're both talking within the Chachamim and Rav Yosi Yehuda, but Rav Asi has one way of understanding the Machlokes, and Rav would have a different way. Rav Huna Amar Rav Kshera. Now, why is Rav Huna saying in the name of Rav that it's kosher in this case? Because he would say, ki nafka chayusa v'shchita kanasa. Because when does the chayus of the animal leave it? When you've cut most of the kona and the vesh, and at that point, you've done a proper shchita. You've done that part was part of a proper shchita, because you were cutting in the right place.
One third was wrong.
But then the next third was right. And when this animal's highest leaves it, at that point you've reached grave sinner, and at that point you were good.
That's all we said, okay.
Again, according to Rashi, because before we were talking about Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and the Chachamim, and now we're talking according to Rabbi Chanan ben Abdignas, according to Tosfos, because before we were talking about according to Rabbi Asi, and now we're talking according to Rab, the point is, now that we say, at this point, when the animal's highest leaves it, when you get to 51%, you're within the middle of a kosher shchita. So therefore, he was talking about shibui kova. He was talking about shechting higher up than they would hold. But the same point, in other words, that we're talking about, that you shechted higher and then went lower and then went higher again. So Rav Huna is going to say the reason it's kosher is because the highest of the animal is leaving it at a time of proper shchita. So if you're at that point, you're shechting properly. Rav Yehuda on the Rav Shreifa, whereas Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shreifa, because but in Rubo B'Shchita Galeka, because you have to have most of the cut has to have been done as Shchita, and here you don't have, because only one third of it was done properly.
You know the culture
here, yeah, but only one third of it, and that's not right.
That's a new criteria, what we're saying, because at the time, the Nefesh left it.
That's fine. That's what Rav Huna is holding, yeah. Another case, what about the other way around? Shachat shlish v'higrim shlish v'shachat shlish. What about the other way around? You started one-third good, then one-third hagrama, then back to one-third good.
Two-thirds good.
Two-thirds good, but middle third, which is when the animal's highest leaves it was bad. So wait, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shera. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of God, but that would be kosher. Also Shailua Rav Yehuda. So then they went after Rav Yehuda, what would you say in this case? Amalahu Treifa. So he says on his own Svara, not in the name of Rav, before we were quoting Rav.
That's right.
Now he's saying on his own Svara, that it would be Treifa. Rav Yehuda is saying on his own Svara, Treifa. Shomer Rav Yehuda, Ikpad. Rav Yehuda heard this and was upset. Omar, he says, what is this? He's like, Dafka going against me. Tarifna Umachshir, what I say is Treifa, he's saying it's kosher. Umachshana Tarif, and what I say is kosher, he's saying it's Treifa. Rav Huna, so when Rav Huna heard about that, he said, Shafir Kamitzvah. You know what? Rav Yehuda has a right to be upset. Maybe I'm not correct in what I'm saying. Number one, he heard an explicit din of what Rav, from Rav, of what Rav would hold in this case.
And
I didn't hear. I'm just saying my own.
That's why he doesn't say the name of Rav.
Right. But oid ha'ika rubber v'shchita. And anyway, there's a good reason to argue that it should be kosher in this case, because after all, two-thirds was done as proper shchita. So maybe my svara is not correct. However, amalei Rav Chista, but Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, loy kerdaba, you don't necessarily have to change your mind. Maybe you are correct after all. didn't came, because otherwise, masad tilala kamaisa. Because otherwise, if you were to change your mind, then you're destroying what you said originally. Before you said that higrim shlish for shachat shlish for higrim kriyat shlish is kosher. In other words, the important point is not how much of the total 100% was done the kashrus, but when the chayus of the animal leaves it. So now, if you're going to say that in this case, you're going to argue it's kosher, then you're contradicting yourself, because then, in this case, the animal's chayus is leaving it in the middle food, which is done with hagrava, because you're talking about it was kosher higrim, is shachat higrim shachat. Because he continues, hasa my time of kamashra. After all, in the previous case, why were you arguing with kosher? Jikinaska chayusa v'hachshera kamashra, because when the animal's chayus was leaving it, was at a point of hechsher, because at that point you were doing a proper shita, and therefore we don't care about that first third. You could argue the same thing over here. Here you could argue that when the chayus of the animal is leaving it, it's at a time of hagrama, and therefore you should, according to your own svara, you should argue it's quite possible. So fine. You're arguing that Rabbi Huda heard the din from Rab and you didn't. Okay, very nice. But based on your own svara, based on what you yourself quoted in the name of Rav before, that it's kosher in the previous case, so that automatically forces you to say that Rav must hold possible in this case.
Okay.
So more on that topic. So that's it. So you didn't answer that. So the Gemara tells, Ikla Rav Nachman Masura, Rav Nachman one time visited Sura, Bo Mine, and they asked him this question, Shachat Shlish, Vehigrim Shlish, Vashachat Shlish Mahu, what happened if he did the first third was a proper shtita, the next third was Hagrama, then the next third again was a proper shtita, Mahu, what would be the din? Amalahu, and he answers them, never mind all of the svaras that we said before, he says, I would argue there's good reason to say that it's kosher, because lav heiner de rabbelazer b'manyuri, isn't that the same din as what rabbelazer b'manyuri said? The amar rabbelazer b'manyuri, because we have a din that rabbelazer b'manyuri said shchita hasuya kematrik kshera. He says that a shchita that's done like a comb is kosher. Done like a comb, in other words, like he did it as a zigzag.
That's ripping off.
No, it's not ripping. You're doing a proper cut. You start with a cut with a smooth knife over here. Then you turn the knife like this, and you start doing like this, and then you turn the knife like this. So you end up with a zigzag cut.
Don't you do shayyalin with this?
Maybe the animal is suffering, maybe not. But again, he's saying that's a kosher shchita. You didn't rip the simonim or anything. You did cut them. Yeah, well, that's going to be the answer. The Gemara is assuming, for purposes of... The Gemara is assuming... Rav Nachman, who's being asked the question and is answering on the basis of this, is assuming that there's no difference between a zigzag that all where the zigzag is. He would assume there's no difference where the zigzag is, whether part of it is above the proper place or not. If Rav Elazar ben Yehuda is saying that a zigzag cut hasuriyah kamatzrik is kosher, then that would mean. And by the way, I mean you have different other understandings among Rishonim of what shchita hasuriyah kamatzrik is. Another explanation over here is that the Magid Mishnah brings one is that he does one cut over here, then he does another cut next to it, another one next to it, and so forth. And eventually, one of those cuts he does run. So it would be like a mattress. It would be like a comb that had a bunch of teeth.
That comes out, that stays with that
all the time. No, obviously it has to come out. He puts it in, does one. Then he puts it in another place.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. No, why would it be possible? Yeah. Okay, and then you have other explanations. Anyway, the point is that he's saying that we see over here, that we see from this, that a shchita that involves zigzagging or shchita in different places or whatever is kosher. So therefore, by the same logic, this shachat shlish v'higrim shlish v'shachat shlish is basically a zigzag, so it should also be kosher. However, the Gemara says, the dilma b'makam shchita. However, maybe not. Maybe Rav Elazar ben Yehuda's din is only talking about as long as all shchita. Then you could argue that it's kosher. Here we're talking about with part of it is above the makom shchita, maybe not. So the question is, the makom shchita, my remember, okay, but if you're going to say that the whole zigzag was the makom shchita, then what's the chiddush? Obviously it's a kosher the shchita. So you cut through, you didn't tear, you didn't do drasa, you didn't do any of the other things that pass through the shchita. What would be the problem? The answer is Mao de Tema, because you might have argued, you might have thought to say, maybe you be exposed. In other words, you have to have, maybe you would say that the shchita has to be mufurat, megulav nikeres, Rashi says. It has to be like exposed and obvious. If you have a zigzag or whatever these various definitions, you can't necessarily see clearly the place of the shchita. You would think v'leta, maybe you don't have that. Kamash Malon, and that would be Rabbi Elazar ben Binyamin Chiddush, that nevertheless it is kosher, but not necessarily would he be machshir in the case. Not necessarily would he be machshir in this case over here, where part of the shchita was actually outside the proper area, where part of it was above the tabas or above the shifu koyva, as the case.
If it
was all in the proper area, then he would say it's kosher. But we can't necessarily prove from this that this case of shachat shlish behidrim shlish, the shachat shlish would be kosher. Now you have. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow with the continuation of the Gemara on this. But as far as the actual halacha, you have different opinions among the Rishonim among the different cases over here involving shlish and shnei shlishim and whatever. What is the halacha? What is kosher and what is not? And again, part of the problem is not just that you have the problem of hagrama, but the problem, you also have the issue that sometimes with some of these types of shlita, where you're going beyond the proper area, you may end up hitting the vesh. And if you hit the vesh outside of the area of shlita, then automatically the animal falls away. So therefore, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions, that Amar, for example, mentions that we should be machmir.
Only hit the vesh after you've cut the kane, is that?
No, it's not. No. You can start by shechting the vesh first, but it has to be that when you're hitting the vesh, it has to be when you're making a hole in the vesh, it's a part of the process of shechita. Therefore, if you were to be cutting through the vesh at a higher point than is allowed to shechita, then you made the animal trade.
Oh, okay, so we don't know. We didn't talk about
the haven't really talked about the vest, but the point is, if you cut too high on the corner, if at some point you're cutting too high in the corner, the likelihood is that you're also going to be cutting too high in the vest, because the zones that are good for both of them are parallel to each other. So therefore, partly for that reason, and partly because we're not sure who the halacha is like, the various opinions of the Amoraim over here, partly for based on both of those reasons, that I'm not convinced that we should be machmir in all these cases where there is partial agrah. The alternative brings in.
If you cut the shifui, that's the kosher zone for the vesh. Below the shifui or up to the shifui.
So that's the zone for the corner and the zone for the vesh are parallel to each other. Yeah. So in the case of the vesh, you don't have a shifui. You have a different you have a different way of telling where what the higher and lower parts are. We'll talk about them later on in the set. But they're both corresponding. Anyway, the Alter Rebbe brings in Kuntra Sachar and on Shulchan Aruch, it's one thing. However, if you can be sure, for example, you can have where you actually hold on to the kana and specifically stress that, making sure that you're not getting anywhere near the vesh, then there might be reason, then you still shouldn't say the hachilah that it's kosher if you did partial agrama in the kana, but then maybe at least in a case in Hefsa Merubah, you might have more reason to be makel, because the vesh would be out of the picture. You won't have to worry about that. The only question... Yeah, you're like, you pull the kana forward and you check only that. Yeah. So then you can be sure you didn't touch the vesh. So then even if you did a little bit of hagrama, then maybe in a case of Hefsa Merubah, you can be makel, because then you only have the topic about who the halacha is like, and then fine, that can go into a sex seita, and that can go into Hefsa Merubah and all those kinds of things.
By side, or the one behind the other one?
Well, the one basically behind the other one, but that's the point. In other words, you can have, but he makes sure to cut through the kana and keep the vesh out of the way, basically.
Once you cut the kana, then you can release it.
Then you can release it, and then you can make sure that you're going through the vesh in the proper place. Yeah.
The first one's the kana, then comes the
vesh? Well, you have. The kana is in front, and the vesh is behind it.
First,
and then
over the
feet. Yeah. I mean, it also depends how recently the animal ate, and there's also differences in this regard between an animal and a bird, how exactly the things are laid out in the nest. But yeah. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow with the end of this discussion. That's the end.
Yeah.
That may be. I don't know.
Don't check.